Welcome to the Blackhawks Talk podcast, brought to you by Coors Light. I am Pat Boyle, joined by Steve Conroy as we break down the Blackhawks' successful road trip. They take 8 out of a possible 10 points, and it was Malcolm Subban who came through with his second career shutout on Thursday night. Patrick Kane continues to dazzle, scoring his 10th goal, 399th of his career. Is he a legitimate candidate for the Hart Trophy and the league's most valuable player? And then coming up a little bit later on, Jamal Mayers talks to Malcolm Subban about his season so far, what life was like for him and his brothers growing up playing hockey in Toronto, and giving back to the Chicago community despite being a relative newcomer to the city. It's all coming up on this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
All right, Steve, the Hawks take 8 out of a possible 10 points on this road trip. They finish up with, after a shootout on Tuesday night, a 6-5, literally a shootout win, and figuratively. It's a little more of a grinded-out offensive challenge game where finally Patrick Kane comes through for the game's first goal midway through the third period, and the Hawks walk away with a 2-0 victory. What was your biggest takeaway from the finale to this road trip?
Probably the patience, because in the previous two games, they'd given up 5 goals in each of those games in Carolina. And then, of course, to the Columbus Blue Jackets, even though they won it in the shootout 6-5. So you don't like to hang those numbers up, even though you're winning, although they lost in Carolina. But those don't look real good, especially as a coaching staff. So the fact that they turned it around, and you know, they were a lot more patient. They waited for their opportunities, and I think that's a sign of a team that's very confident, realizing that, you know, we're going to score, we're going to get our chances. Let's lock things down. And yeah, they didn't in the first period. I mean, they allowed a number of shots, but Malcolm Subban was real good. But then they started to take over in the second and parts of the third period too. So this team is maturing. I mean, hey, give them full credit. They're in, you know, they got a playoff spot right now, and they have shocked me. They've surprised the hockey world. But give them full marks, because they're doing it in a lot of different ways. And yeah, it's a high octane offense, but the goaltending's been fantastic, and the youngsters have been producing.
Our cold brew check presented by Dunkin' is Malcolm Subban, and you know, just his 5th start for the Blackhawks. He had been off the last 10 days after a victory against Detroit. He comes through with his second career shutout. We've seen growth from him from start 1 in Florida to now his 5th start, starting with rebound control, playing the puck better. Just a lot of signs that, you know, he's maturing when he's finally getting an opportunity.
Yeah, I think, you know, that comes with obviously confidence, and the more you get the net, the more confident you're going to be. And it comes with, you know, getting used to the guys and being able to, you know, talk with them either in games or between games. And I'm sure this road trip, these guys had an opportunity to really bond. You know, 12 days away from Chicago and only 5 games, there's a lot of downtime. So you know, we mentioned during the game that Jimmy Waite has to be given a lot of credit, because the way these young goalies who don't have a lot of experience have played has really been fantastic. And I got to hand it to Malcolm Subban, because to go 10 days between starts, practicing is not like playing in a game. And to come out, and especially after that first period where they're outshot, you know, I think I had it at 10-3. I guess it was 8-3.
Yeah, 8-3 in the first period.
8-3. You know, a couple of really good scoring opportunities, too. So to come in cold, to do that, you know, good for Malcolm Subban. He's been great all year long.
He was really tested in that third period. He had 15 saves in the third period. We highlighted on the postgame show the tail end of the Columbus power play, their second power play. He made some big-time stops. That was Cold Brew Check presented by Dunkin'. This season, be sure to grab a cold brew for game time, because where there's hockey, there's Dunkin'. And then there's Patrick Kane, which, you know, we talked about it in our pregame show, how he was tied for fourth in the NHL in points. And of all the surprises that we've had to start this year with the emergence of different young goalies, with the seven or eight rookies that are in the lineup on any given night, the five that have scored their first NHL goals this season, and just the where the expectations were to what we've seen now, a team that's like in this playoff mix, I didn't think 21 games in we'd be talking about Patrick Kane in the Hart Trophy discussion. We're a third of the way through the season, and he's legitimately in that conversation, is he not?
It's legit, and when you match it up with the fact that they're without, the Blackhawks are without Jonathan Toews, you know, who sees a lot of the opposition's best forwards, best defensemen, without Kirby Dach, who had an unbelievable breakout rookie season and who in the playoffs really stepped it up a notch. You know, without Andrew Shaw right now, without Dylan Strome. I mean, when a team game plans, you've got to worry about certain guys. And right now the Blackhawks, you know, and they still do have Dominic Kubalik, who had an unbelievable first year, and they do have Alex DeBrincat. But I think most teams game plan around number 88.
Sure.
And you look at his last three games, if my math's right, 8 points in three games on the road where they get the last change. They get to put out the D they want, and Patrick Kane still comes out ahead. So to be able to do that, it is just mind-boggling. And it's 14 years of watching him, and he still continues to impress us.
And I think he's given a lot of credit to the maturation of DeBrincat. DeBrincat is having a great year. He's winning so many puck battles, and he has figured out the East-West game, which, as we've chronicled, is not the easiest thing to do with Patrick Kane, because Alex, I think, entered the league a little more north-south. And the fact that he's doing it with rookie centers. I mean, it started with Pugh Suter on Thursday night, and shortly thereafter it was Philip Kurashev that was centering his line. So he's doing it with an unproven centerman, so to speak. He was supposed to be with Kirby Dach most of this year.
Right.
And even on nights where – like, he probably wasn't at his best on Thursday, he's still finding a way to impact the game.
But getting back to the young guys he's playing with, don't you think that's kind of energizing him?
Yeah, I mean, I look, that would be saying that, because the way I take that sometimes is, I heard people say rejuvenated. I would think, like, that's if he had had some down years. Like, 2 years ago, he had 110 points. I don't think he's... I mean, I think he's made the best with the cards he's been dealt with.
Yeah.
But I do think I just think he loves this game. And when he sees, in this case, five rookies score their first goal and, like, he got the primary assist for Hagel, I do think you feed off of that. And I do think, you know, Patrick is really enjoying that part of what this season has brought.
I think it brings him back to when he was young and scoring his first goal against the Colorado Avalanche. And, you know, just the pure joy of being in the NHL. And he sees it on these young kids. I mean, five, as you mentioned, five guys have scored their first goals this year for the Chicago Blackhawks. And he's been in on a few of them. So I think it has, and you're probably right, rejuvenation might not be the right word, but I think it's really jacked him up. And especially coming in when, and listen, I would think that even some guys on that team thought, this could be a long year.
Yeah.
We don't have our captain. We don't have Kirby Dach. We've got unproven goalies, and everything's turning out the right way. And a big part of it is Patrick Kane.
No way after Patrick had that Zoom call with Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, Stan Bowman and Jeremy Colleton, did Patrick get off that Zoom and go, all right, you know what? I get the plan, and there's a good chance I'm going to be this mentor, and this is all going to – I mean, there's no way. None of us. Nobody saw that. And look, you know, he is legitimately in that MVP discussion. Again, it's early. The odds for the Hart Trophy powered by PointsBet Sportsbook, we took a look at it, and PointsBet gave us the odds, and Connor McDavid leads at plus 150. Auston Matthews is second at plus 300. Kane is third at plus 1,200.
Ooh.
And you brought up the point that Elliot Friedman had a piece talking about how the voting may go. And what did you read in that piece?
Well, he broke it down, which was kind of neat, because it's voted on by hockey writers. Mm-hmm. And there are some broadcasters in there, but they also write. So he had 175 hockey writers, 88 were in Canada, 82 were in the States, and I believe there was 5 from Europe. So his thinking was that the Canadian writers, were probably going to be more swayed towards Connor McDavid and Auston Matthews. And I kind of agreed. But I think you brought up a real good point that I hadn't thought of, is that could split the vote. I mean, you could, you know, get a real divide there with all the Americans, the ones, you know, south of the border, looking at Patrick Kane and what he's done with the Chicago Blackhawks. So, hey, we're a long way away from that, I agree. And a couple of things have to happen. Patrick Kane has to keep up this torrid pace, which I think he can. And I think the Blackhawks have to make the playoffs in order for somebody to be considered for an MVP.
And right now, all three of those teams, Toronto and Edmonton and the Blackhawks, are in the mix. Yeah. Toronto and Edmonton are 1 and 2 in the North. So we'll see what happens. I also think you need to look at the supporting cast. I mean, when you're looking to defend the Oilers, yeah, you're starting with McDavid, but you also have to worry about Draisaitl on that second line. You get Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. You've got more proven offensive weapons, at least in the top six, on the Oilers. And then you look at who Matthews is out there with, and the
Mitch Marner,
Mitch Marner, and then Tavares on the second line.
Yeah,
it's easier to defend, in theory, the Blackhawks, because it's resting on one guy's shoulders, where the other two are putting up unbelievable numbers, but there can be some more scoring that you would expect to see throughout the lineup.
Yeah, and that's why they make, for the MVP, the Hart Trophy, it's the most valuable to his team. So I think what that kind of shines the light on is, if you take this guy out of the mix, where is this team? And I think with Patrick Kane, you'd hate to think where this team would be, because, you know, with Connor McDavid, you got Draisaitl, you've got Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and in Toronto, Marner. Some people think Marner is the best player on that team anyway, but you do have second and third lines that can contribute with Tavares and a host of others. So I think at this point, and because we're in a playoff spot, Patrick Kane has been the most valuable to his team.
And so Patrick has the opportunity to go for his 400th career goal beginning Saturday night. It's back-to-back games against Detroit. Saturday night, we'll have it for you on NBC Sports Chicago. Pre-game at 6:30, face-off just after 7. Then it's a nationally televised game, NBCSN, on Sunday. I think this is one of the last times the Hawks are on the national stage. That also might be one of those games that you circle, where Kane needs to show the voters and everybody across North America why he deserves to be in that discussion. But here's my thing with the Detroit Red Wings. The first two games they played to start this road trip at Little Caesars Arena, like, Detroit outplayed them in game one, and the Hawks found a way to win that game. And then for large chunks of game two, Detroit outplayed them. It was an uneven performance. Hawks found a way to win. You can't play down. Like, the one thing Jeremy really prides himself on with this team is work ethic. Don't take nights off and think you're just going to show up and beat the team that's lower than you in the standings.
Yeah. They had 39 shots in that game. I believe Subban started it, too. They should have won it, and Malcolm Subban was a big reason that the Blackhawks ended up winning it. You're right. You can't take your foot off the gas. There's no easy games in the NHL. I like Detroit. They just can't score right now, but they've got guys who are capable, whether it's Dylan Larkin, who I think is the fastest guy in the NHL. I know a lot of people think Nathan MacKinnon is faster, but I think in a straight line, Dylan Larkin's fast. Yeah, they've got some young kids on that team who can score goals. They've been snake bit so far. So you don't want to be the team that they break out against, and you certainly don't want to play down to their level because they are last in the division. So no easy games, just go out there and play like machines. Play like the way you did tonight. Get rid of that first period and just, you know, play with passion, play with excitement. You know you've got – I think now the Blackhawks realize they've got guys who can score. And, you know, even if it's going to be a 0-0 game for 50 minutes, we'll find a way to get one. And Patrick Kane did. We've seen a number of other guys step to the forefront when they've needed goals. So just play aggressive. And the Blackhawks in the second and third period, aggressive on the forecheck, aggressive backchecking, you're going to get your looks. And yeah, I like that recipe that they've had so far.
Couple areas to clean up as they and the schedule gets considerably more difficult after the Detroit series. You know, they face Tampa twice next week. Mm-hmm. They got to clean up the issues at the faceoff circle. I mean, it's this up and down like EKG, mostly down as of late at the faceoff circle. Even though Carl Soderberg had a great night at the dot. That's where you're seeing the lack of depth maybe down the middle. Kampf has had, you know, at times some really good games, and other nights he's disappeared. So there have been really uneven performances when it comes to the faceoff circle. And when you're playing all these tight games and nine of your games have gone to overtime or shootout to decide it, you know, losing those faceoffs are – could cost you, you know, 2 points.
It's possession, right? You win a draw, and it's one of the few times in a hockey game where you can kind of set up a play. And Soderberg was our best faceoff guy, and he was at 45%, which isn't great. And the Blackhawks are without Dylan Strome, who was struggling lately in the faceoff dot, but early in the season he was really good. He was well over 50%. Andrew Shaw would take some important faceoffs. He's not in there. And, of course, Jonathan Toews, who we haven't had all year. So, yeah, that, you know, if we're going to nitpick, that's an area that's got to get better. And it's just not all on the centerman. You need some help from the wingers. You need some help from defensemen, too. And you've just got to find a way to possess the puck, because it's the new NHL, and whoever has possession is going to have, you know, an opportunity to get a shot. And whenever there's shots, there's potential goals.
So the Hawks have won 8 of their last 10. They'll take on the Detroit Red Wings on Saturday and Sunday. We'll have the game for you on NBC Sports Chicago. Pre-game starts at 6:30 on Saturday evening. Coming up on the podcast, Jamal Mayers talks to Malcolm Subban.
The team's been on a run as of late, and personally, you're putting up great numbers and getting the wins. Do you feel like you're settling in here in Chicago?
Yeah, I feel like I've been settling in pretty well. I think, you know, when I got here, just getting to know everyone and getting used to the routine, everything's different from with every team. So I feel like I've been settling in pretty good. Obviously, you know, the boys have been buying in and playing really well, so it's helped a lot for me.
Almost to the halfway point of the season, definitely a different feeling. Playing teams back-to-back to limit the travel. How has it been adapting to this new look of a schedule in 2021?
It's been a little different. There's been pros and cons, to be honest. I think, for one, obviously, there's not too much practice time. It's, you know, a lot of games, you know, on every second day and stuff like that. But I think, you know, it's kind of nice on the road trips where, you know, you play 2 games, so you're not just in and out all the time. You know, it's almost like there's less travel, it feels like, because once you get to a city, you know, you're playing there twice. So you're kind of not moving around too much. But, yeah, it's definitely a little different with all the games that are – pushed together. But I feel like, you know, you start to get used to it after a while. I'm starting to get used to it. So I think, you know, we've been handling it pretty well.
Well, obviously there's, I believe competition is healthy, and you guys certainly have that between yourself, Kevin Lankinen, and Colin Delia. How has that helped you?
I think it just holds you accountable, and, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, you're putting in the work, and, you know, you're playing well and giving your team a chance to win when you get in there. And obviously, you know, Lance, it's his first season, so I've been trying to help him. Obviously, I'm not a seasoned vet by any means, haven't played, you know, 10 to 15 years, but just from what I have experienced, you know, I've been trying to help him out and, you know, give him some tips and stuff. And it's, I think it's been good, honestly. The team's been playing really well, so that helps us out a lot too, scoring goals for us and stuff. So, you know, hopefully we can keep that going.
Malcolm, February is Black History Month. What was it like growing up for you and your family in Toronto as a person of color playing the game?
You know, for me, it's kind of like a situation where, you know, I was playing hockey from a really young age. So I think, you know, it kind of came normal to me, you know, just playing. And, you know, obviously once you get older, you kind of, you know, get into history and stuff and you realize, okay, yeah, I'm a Black guy playing hockey. But growing up, really, yeah, I didn't really think of it that way. You know, I just, as a kid, I just loved playing the game, and, you know, I had a lot of friends playing hockey and stuff. So, didn't face too much, adversity there in that regard. Obviously some people might've, but, you know, for me, it was just, you know, just my love of the game, playing hockey and stuff. So, yeah.
And obviously you're able to watch your brothers play, they're a few years older as well, right? You're the youngest.
Yeah, PK's 4 years older, and Jordan's, I'm 15 months older than Jordan.
Yeah. Okay. So how did, you know, watching your brother's experience and your own experience, how did that help shape who you are today?
I think, you know, for me, watching PK and just how he, you know, dealt with everything and how he carried himself, I think, you know, it's just, for me, it's like, hey, just be yourself and go out there and do your thing. And, you know, obviously there's going to be people that, you know, maybe don't appreciate what you're doing as much as other people, but, you know, you can't let that affect you. You just got to go out there and do your thing and, you know, be yourself and be a good person and just try and, you know, give it your all when you're out there.
This kind of leads into the next question, which is, seems pretty obvious, but I'll let you talk about it. Who did you look up to while you were growing up, both on and off the ice?
For sure, off the ice. Obviously, like my parents and, you know, them, you know, moving from, you know, the Caribbean when they were younger and coming over here and providing for us and, you know, giving us all the opportunity to follow our dreams and do whatever we wanted to do. So, you know, keeping us on the right track and, you know, teaching us, you know, the value of hard work and, you know, being a good person. So, you know, that obviously rubbed off on us, on my brothers and sisters. And then, on the ice, I think my brother, as I said, you know, he's, set a good example for me and Jordan, great example, to be honest. And what he's done and what he's accomplished and, you know, how he's done it, you know, being himself, being a good person and giving back to the community. It's, set great examples for us and paved the way for us. So,
and I know your father's a principal. You may not know this, but I did visit his school back in the day, maybe 10, 12 years ago, while I was still playing, and, got to know him a bit. And
it really cool to hear a story about how his sons were coming up and playing. I believe PK was playing at the time in Belleville. And so it leads into this questions. I know your father's a principal and you had a chance today to make an impact on some young students. What was that like to interact with the students at Ogden International School of Chicago and share your experiences with them?
Yeah, it was great, especially coming to Chicago and in the trade. And, you know, I was here for like 2 weeks and then quarantine happened and stuff. So, but it was great to get there and get out in the community and, you know, just learn more about the city. And, you know, obviously I heard stuff about some of the neighborhoods in Chicago. So, you know, I wanted to get out there as quickly as I could and, you know, get into the schools and stuff and try and, you know, help the kids out, give them some guidance and some insight and stuff. So, it was great to connect with them for sure.
And this isn't the first time you've been involved in community work in Chicago. Over the summer, you got involved with Sam Acco and the Athletes for Justice program. What made you decide to get involved in that project, even though you were fairly new to Chicago?
Oh yeah, like you said, I was fairly new to Chicago, and then I was just in quarantine. And actually, Jonathan Taves was already a part of it, and he sent me a text and asked me if I wanted to be a part of it. I said, 100%. I'm there. Just let me know when and where. And I got there, and you know what? I'm really happy I did. Honestly, I didn't know too much about it from Taser, but then once I learned more about it, I was like, this is awesome. I couldn't believe what they were doing. It was a great thing. I'd never been a part of something that big before. And just to see how it paid off and everything, and you know, how appreciative the people in the community were, it was definitely an amazing experience. And looking forward to doing more stuff like that for sure.
Well, Malcolm, you guys are off to a great start so far this year. Best of luck the rest of the way.
No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Our thanks to Malcolm Subban and Jamal Mayers for joining us on this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast. My thanks to my partner, Steve Conroy. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Blackhawks Talk podcast.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.